How many know the Lord wants His people to know His goodness and to rejoice in that and to be thankful? Hallelujah, that He gave Jesus for us. Amen. Hallelujah. For without Him, we're lost. We're without hope. There is salvation and none other. It's very clear. Hallelujah. Well, we had a blessed time yesterday at the memorial. I know a lot of people are probably wore out from everything. I get it. Hopefully they can join us at least online today. I really felt like, and this is what I always pray, that the Lord be glorified, you know, in any of these things that we do. I really believe the Lord was pleased because so many of you just really stepped up, you know, and spoke out and talked about, you know, the goodness of God in your own life. You testified, and we can also see the obvious change that happened in Mark. Mark was only 44 years old, and he went to be with Jesus, and he had like a really rough start in life, as we all have, if we're honest about it, right? Because we're born with that nature that's separated from God, and that's why we must be born again, amen, to see the kingdom. And Mark was radically saved. He was changed. He was a new man, amen. And in the picture of his baptism, we have just this beaming smile when he came up, amen, just before he was going into the baptism. But the joy of the Lord was very obvious. And that's the thing, is that, you know, if you really want to get high, you got to go to the Most High, right? And there's no regrets. So I don't need the stuff of the world, amen, anymore. I used to think it was going to help me, but actually it just created worse problems. But you know, God is so good, and it's not just a cliche. He really is so good. And if you can't remember anything else, remember this, that God demonstrated His love for us in the cross. Amen. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. We didn't deserve what He did. And Jesus didn't deserve what happened to Him. But He was willing to go in our place because He wanted us to be with Him. And the only way to be with Him is through Him. Amen? The only way to be forgiven is through the blood of Christ. Amen? You cannot do enough good works to merit salvation. You must come to God. Amen? And all the dysfunction that we are, naturally speaking. Amen? And maybe some of us got a little better handle on things than others. However, we're all lost without Jesus. Amen? As a matter of fact, the Bible is very clear that there's none good. And yet we think we are. And I used to think I was pretty good until God gave me a glimpse of how I really am. And I didn't understand that until He allowed me to see myself as I really was and how unholy I was and how holy He is. Amen. And so the more that you see God and have a revelation as He's being revealed to you, the more that you realize that you are unholy. Amen. Without Him, you cannot be holy. Amen. So this is it, guys. We have to first recognize, you know, that we're not holy, all right, in ourselves. Remember, the religious leaders of Jesus' day thought they were holy. You know, they boasted before God that they're not like other men. So they compared themselves with others. And so Jesus came on the scene and removed the veil from their eyes. And all of a sudden they realized that they were just as lost as everybody else. Even though they were technically in a place of serving God, they were really serving themselves. Because their hearts were not changed. Their hearts were not converted. So what Jesus comes to do is convert the heart. Amen. When the heart changes, then the life changes. And that's one thing that we can't change, and that's our heart. You know, we can change patterns of behavior. We can change habits. We can quit doing this and start doing that, but we can't change the heart. And unless the heart is changed, there's no true righteousness, you see. It's God who makes us right. God who makes us holy. God who makes us good. Lest we should boast in our own goodness. But compared to him, we fall short, don't we? That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need mercy. Amen. That's why he went to the cross and shed his blood so we could be forgiven. And we could have, amen, right standing with him again. And now, because of the blood of Christ, we can come with confidence, amen, before his throne and make our requests known. So that's the cool thing, is that God allows us to come with confidence, or boldly even, into his throne of grace. Now, without Jesus, you can't do that. The only thing that he's looking for is you to come to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've sinned. I've fallen short. I know I can't live the life that you expect me to live. And so I'm coming to you for mercy. And God is merciful and just. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, God wants us to trust him unconditionally. It's hard to find anybody, if anybody, in this world, I mean, no offense by that, that you can trust unconditionally. How many have ever said you can take years to build trust, seconds to destroy it, amen, and a lifetime to try to restore it? And so we need to know who to really trust. And we're all, even with our relationships and our friends, we're trying to find somebody that we can really trust. I mean, you know, we have pals, we have buddies, we have people we may hang with, and, you know, what we call our tribe or our clan, whatever, you know, people we hang out with. But it's hard to find somebody that you can trust unconditionally. Because even those that are closest to us at some time will let you down. Amen. Not intentionally, but sometimes we fail one another. Are you hearing me? And so we need to know who to trust. And we know that there's really only one that is trustworthy to the degree that we can trust him unconditionally. Because what we do is we put conditions sometimes on God. God, I'll trust you if you do this for me. God, I'll trust you if you do it my way. God, I'll trust you if you answer my prayers how I want them answered and when I want them answered. And do we really believe that God is good, though? That's the question. Do we believe God is good? Is God only good because he does what we expect him to do for us? Look at Isaiah 55 and verse 8. The Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Now I know because we thought it must be right. You know, and sometimes even Christians think any thought they get must be from God, because I thought it. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, that's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need God in our lives. Amen? So that we can know the mind of Christ. All right? But in that, there's also that part of us that wants to get in the way. Sometimes it's not God's thoughts, but my thoughts. How many know the Holy Spirit always points to Jesus? And he always agrees with what is written. Amen? So we have a sure word of prophecy right here. Amen? God's word is true. So we shouldn't judge God by our own thoughts. But we do. In our ways, because God thinks and acts in ways that transcend anything we can ever imagine. So when we're faced with the fact that God could have prevented our whole mess and didn't, we may be tempted to blame him. You know what I'm talking about? God ever get blamed for something? Yeah. And God, you could have stopped this. You could have prevented this. And so, God, it's the blame game, you know. As a matter of fact, sometimes we're blaming God for the problem we got ourselves into. Because when he was trying to talk to us, we weren't listening. I've been there. How about you? Trusting God means trusting him even when we don't understand why. How many remember being a teenager? Maybe some of you have to go back quite a ways to remember that. Right? But our parents, they did certain things when we were growing up that we didn't understand or appreciate at the time. At the time. Right? But then later on, as we matured and as we had children of our own, we hope we mature, that is, we begin to understand that much of what they did was for our good. Even though we didn't have a full explanation every time, and there were certain things that they withheld from us. Why? I know, how many ever heard that one before? Because I told you so. Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of times God will, he will explain it to you if you seek him for the answer. Amen. But there are other things that are mysteries. But just because God withholds something from us doesn't mean that he's not good, or that he doesn't have good, amen, in store for us. Because when you come to know the Lord, you come to know that he truly is good. And everything he does is really good and good for us. Even sometimes when there's pain, amen, in the discipline that he allows us to undergo, to get our attention. How many know what an attitude adjustment is? My dad knew how to give me an attitude adjustment once in a while. All right. And I didn't like it at the time, but later on I appreciated it, because what it taught me is that there are consequences for my actions. And if I don't learn to discipline myself as a child or a young man, I'm not going to be a disciplined adult. I'm not going to be a self-disciplined person, amen, as I grow. So discipline is good because it protects us. Come on. I heard one statistic that 80% of incarcerated young men are fatherless. They didn't have a father growing up. So we see the value of having a father, but also a godly father, amen, that will teach them the ways of God. His ways are higher than our ways. And so we need to know the mind of Christ. We need to know God's ways. We need to know his thoughts so we can walk in them. So the responsibilities that you had, I don't know, I had responsibilities growing up. Doing homework. Oh, love that. Squirrel. Chores. Value of hard work. Even discipline for wrongdoing. All right, now, was it because he was just trying to be mean? Or was he a tyrant because he tried to set some boundaries for me in my life? No. He was trying to protect me. And he wanted me to grow up and be productive. Amen? As a person. And to be a benefit and a blessing to others. Amen? So it wasn't all about me. And so I had to learn the discipline, and I'm still learning that, of self-denial. Because if you want to be a follower of Jesus, you're going to have to learn to deny yourself first. Jesus didn't come with his own agenda. He came to do the Father's will. Even though he was God in very nature, he took upon himself the form of a man. As a servant, he came. And he came for you, and he came for me, didn't he? He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And so everything God does in our lives is good. I believe that. I trust the Lord's heart. I don't always understand his ways. But when you come to know somebody who is trustworthy in life, hopefully you do have somebody you know is trustworthy in your life. Amen. There'll be times when maybe you may even hear an accusation against that person. But because you know the nature and the character of that person, you're not going to buy into it that easily. You're going to say, but that's not who I know. Are you hearing me? because you learn to know the character of people that you spend time with. How many that know that we get to know the Lord personally as we spend more time with Him? We spend time in His Word. For us, the heavens are higher than the earth. Verse 9, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. That gives me comfort. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So sometimes, correct me if I'm wrong, the word of the Lord is not something we want to hear. I think a few people got irritated yesterday during the memorial because I was speaking the truth. Amen. And it stung a little bit. Sometimes when you hear the truth, it just stings a little bit. Amen. How many know the Bible says the word of God is like a two-edged sword? It's like a surgical instrument. Amen. And in order to be free from something that could be devastating to you, there has to be a removal of certain things. There has to be a cutting away of certain things that could be detrimental to your life. And so God's word is like that surgical instrument, amen, that works in our spirit. And it sanctifies, it cuts away the bad, amen, so that we can be separated unto God. God is purifying a people. He's refining us, even sometimes in the fires of difficulties. And so we have to trust the heart of God. When we don't understand with our mind, we must trust with our heart. So sometimes the truth is painful. And sometimes, again, our parents instructed us. Why? Because they wanted us to be wise and productive adults. All right? And of course, our parents are flawed just like we are. They're human. Amen? So they're going to make mistakes. But their heart, their intention was to do the best for their children if they love their children. You know, sometimes I get frustrated with the rain. But then I remember when I was living in New England or in Western New York, even worse. When you don't have to shovel rain, amen? But the snow, man, there we'd have feet of snow, you know? And sometimes it'd be day after day in cold temperatures. So I can be grateful, amen, that, hey, a little rain, we can deal with a little rain. Besides that, think about it. The rain produces or brings nutrients, amen, into the soil that we need here in Western Washington. So there's a reason. God has set everything in its order, hasn't He? But sometimes we just get frustrated with the process. Amen. If you want something to grow, you got to have the rain. Sometimes that's the way it is in our lives. Amen. There's going to be rain. There's going to be rainy days. But God knows what He's doing if you're a child of His. Now, in the book of Genesis, chapter 37 and 43, this is a story of Joseph. He was being conditioned by God for his destiny. And he was being actually conditioned by the things that he suffered and that he had to endure. None of us like to suffer. We want ease. We want comfort. We want a smooth way. And we try to avoid anything that would bring us discomfort. But you've heard the old saying, no pain, no gain. And there's going to be sometimes pain, amen, in our lives, but it always produces something good if it's something that God has allowed, amen, as a discipline for us. All right? Now, I heard someone say the other day, you know what? I wouldn't want to repeat some of the trials of my life, but I wouldn't trade them for anything. And that's so true. We can look back and see, you know what, it actually, in the long run, has been good for me. Genesis 37:5, now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. They were jealous of him. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. Now, how would you take that? And his brother said to him, and these are probably older brothers, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. So what Joseph was sharing with them is a true revelation or dream that he got from God. And the result was they hated him. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." Now, naturally, we're all like, "Who do you think you are?" You know. So he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father did what? Rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him. But his father kept the matter in mind. He got to thinking about it. What could this mean? So what happens? Let me recap it. Joseph received promises through a dream that his sheaves would stand upright, right? And his brothers would bow down to it. And then the sun, moon, and 11 stars, which represented his family, right? They would be bowing down to him as well. So in this dream, God revealed to Joseph that he was destined for greatness. That's what he was saying. He was going to exalt Joseph. So, but God did this so Joseph could eventually be in a position to deliver his family in a time of famine. But at the time, they did not know that. All he had was the dream and the promise of greatness, but they didn't know the rest of the story. And sometimes that's the way it is in our lives. God will give you a vision or a dream of something that he's calling you to, and you're kind of in a place between the dream and the fulfillment of that. God has a destiny for every one of us here, but we need to walk with him. He will reveal it to us as we continue to walk. You see, Joseph remained faithful to God. So the next thing that happened is that Joseph's brothers, if you remember, they betrayed him, right? Threw him into a pit and sold him into slavery, in Egyptian slavery, right? And eventually, from that place, God gave Joseph favor and set him over Potiphar's house. So then the next thing you know, Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him. She was coming on to him, but he was saying no, you know. But she falsely accuses him of attempted rape. And Joseph, unjustly thrown in prison, So here's the guy with all the dreams, with the promises of God of greatness. Can you imagine what must be going through his mind? Here I am now in jail. Who knows if I'm ever going to, I'm probably going to rot here. But how many know that God is faithful to his promises? It doesn't matter what man does. If God gives you a promise, he's going to do it. So Joseph did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but he suffered for it. Over 10 years at this time of honest, hard work, faithful service, seemingly went down the tubes. And was life fair to him? Somebody say no. Is life fair? No. Is God fair? Yes. But things happen in this world that aren't fair. Why? Because we live in a broken world. And because people have been given a free will to choose what they will do with their lives. And sometimes, unfortunately, the choices we make hurt other people. Other people suffer. However, God's plan, God's will, amen, exceeds all of that. All right? And what God has begun in you, he is faithful to complete. Regardless of what man says or does to you, God's plan will be accomplished in your life if you're his child. Somebody say amen. So God was doing what? He was conditioning Joseph for the promise through the things that he endured. And this was a long process between the promise and the fulfillment. So remember what the Holy Spirit said through Peter. 1 Peter 2:19, he says, "For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully." Ever suffer wrongfully? You ever suffer because of your testimony, because of your stand? ever get rejected, accused, lied on? For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently, of course, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently? This is commendable before God, right? That's verse 20. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps. Okay. We're supposed to walk as Jesus walked. You know, the Bible is very clear that we will have confidence in the day of judgment, because as Jesus was in this world, so are we. Do you know the word Christian was given actually by unbelievers to the early church? They didn't name themselves Christians, but the unbelievers actually called them Christians because they were followers of Christ. So they were called Christians, followers of Jesus. That's who we are. So when we walk in the Lord, amen, when we walk with the Lord, you're going to experience opposition. Why? Because we're in a spiritual battle. Forces of darkness, amen, will try to oppose the will, the plan of God for your life. But know this, that what God sets in motion, no devil in hell can stop. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we're not wrestling against people, but against principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in high places. Spiritual battle. Amen. That we see evidenced in the natural realm all around us. So when God doesn't do things the way we expect, again, does that mean that he's not good? Well, if you take a look at the life of Joseph, you can say, no, God was planning something. God was working out a plan in his life. And God was conditioning Joseph. He was bringing him to a place of maturity so he could handle the responsibility that he was going to have. Is that making sense? Remember what the Holy Spirit said again. That you were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. And so there are many people that are angry with God as I speak. Even some believers, they got angry with God because he didn't do what they wanted him to do or the way that he wanted it done. Amen. And so, again, this is about really knowing the heart, knowing the nature, the character of the Lord, and that he truly is good, that he is a loving father. He is a good father. Amen. And he knows what's best for us. And he's actually preparing us for eternity. Amen. So think about this life once again as being in boot camp. Amen. This is the boot camp of eternity. He's preparing us for greatness. Amen. He wants you to have an inheritance. He wants you to be exalted with him in heavenly places. Amen. But in order to be able to handle responsibility, you have to first be conditioned. You have to be trained. Amen. So that you can handle the responsibility. I know when we're kids, we want to grow up fast. We don't want to have to wait for anything. But there's a reason why, amen, there's a time for everything. You don't give your five-year-old the car keys for a reason, right? So, Joseph learned obedience by what he suffered. God is also teaching us through the difficulties of life. God has a destiny for you, for each one of us. And God wants, hear me, to do us good in the end. We may not see it now, but God is looking at the finished product. God is preparing you for eternity. Amen. Romans 8 and verse 18 says this, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." In the New Living Translation, it says, "Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later." So be encouraged. I believe God loves me. I believe God demonstrated that for me at the cross. Amen. And in my life in so many ways. I believe God is with me. Do you? God is for me. He's not against me. God's purposes will prevail. Joseph's brothers tried to stop the promise of God. But what God sets in motion cannot be stopped. We also see this account in Psalms 105, verse 17. It says, "Then he sent someone to Egypt ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave." Now remember, there's going to be 7 years of famine, right? And so they're going to have to be ready. And he needed somebody to go beforehand, right? So that he could save lives. And yet the family, even though they mistreated him, even his brothers forsook him, amen, God still worked out his plan through that. Because if it wasn't for the fact that Joseph was sold into slavery, he would have never been in Egypt to be in position, come on somebody, to be the deliverer of his people. It says they bruised his feet with fetters and placed his neck in an iron collar until the time came to fulfill his dreams. Hallelujah. The Lord tested Joseph's character. God's more concerned about our character than our comfort. In verse 20, "Then Pharaoh sent for him, set him free. The ruler of the nation opened his prison door. And Joseph was put in charge of all the king's household. He became ruler over all the king's possessions." How many would agree with me that God's plan is superior to our own? We need to trust the plan. How many have heard that one? All right. Trust the plan. Yeah, we're trusting God's plan. Amen. So the time finally came for Joseph to be exalted and placed in a position to serve and to save. Listen, the very ones who betrayed him. Does that sound familiar? That's what happened to Jesus. He was betrayed. Amen. He was despised and rejected. People abused the Lord. Amen. But he died for those same people that abused him. So in Joseph, we see a picture of Christ. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And listen, it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. Hebrews 12 and 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross." For the what? Joy he saw beyond the moment, the temporary. God wants you to look beyond the temporary to the promise. Come on, somebody. "Despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." This is also God's eternal plan for his church. 2 Timothy 2:11, "This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." Yesterday I called for people to make a stand for Jesus. And Jesus is very clear about it. "If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll also deny you before my Father." Yeah. Trusting God, what does it mean? It means trusting him no matter what. And that's the title of the message today, Trusting God No Matter What. Trusting God No Matter What. God knew Joseph's brothers would betray him before they did it. Now, God could have prevented it. Could he not? God, why didn't you stop this? Why didn't you prevent this? But he didn't, because of the plan that he had. So like Jesus, Joseph blessed those who cursed him and did good to those who mistreated him. In Genesis 45 and verse 5, Joseph said this to his brothers, "But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves." This is later when he had been exalted and they came into Egypt not knowing that was Joseph because he disguised himself. And then they were shocked when they found out it was their brother that they had forsaken. And what did he do? He says, "Do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here." Wow. "For God sent me before you to preserve life." Isn't that amazing? That's what you call mercy. That's grace. Amen. That's amazing grace. That's the grace of God for us with Jesus. We need to learn from Joseph's example. Amen. And realize God's in control of our destiny. Don't blame God. God is with you. God's for you. Just because we don't understand doesn't mean he's not good. They didn't understand at the time, but later it became clear. See, we need to learn to do what is right, but not necessarily what is easy. Sometimes doing what is right is not easy. Sometimes there's a cost to doing what is right. Are you hearing me? But before God, amen, is commendable. That even if you suffer wrongfully when you've done right, God will reward you in eternity. Hallelujah. God is in control. Hallelujah, I believe that. And God is love. And there's great reward in the end for us if we trust the Lord. We need to trust him even when it doesn't make sense to us. There's things that have happened in my life, people, loved ones, you know, that have passed away, sometimes young age. And I've often questioned, even as some were saying, even with Mark recently, why, Lord? Why this? Why at such a young age? How many know that God will use that, amen, to reach many others? And I believe that God had set up this memorial yesterday so the seed of the word could get into the hearts of those who were here. And God worked through us, amen. Those of you who even stood up and you spoke out and you shared and you planted seed in the hearts. God had arranged that the Holy Spirit was at work. Amen. Even through a tragedy, God can turn that around for healing and for reconciliation of family members. How often I have seen families come together over a death. And even our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. He said, unless a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, amen, it will produce a harvest. Our Lord Jesus, amen, was that seed. Amen. In his death, many of us have come into new life. Hallelujah. Amen. Because God laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. Hallelujah. And he took that to the grave. Hallelujah. And he broke the power of sin. So if we repent and we turn to Jesus, amen, he will forgive us and he'll place his Holy Spirit in us. Give us that new heart, that new beginning. We become a born again Christian. Amen. A new life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And it's because of the joy that was set before Jesus that said that he endured the cross. And I've said this before, but I believe the joy was seeing you and I with him in eternity. Because God is not willing that anyone should perish. Because naturally we're children of hell. And we cannot save ourselves. And there's only one way, one truth. Amen. One life. That's Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. He is the shepherd of the sheep. Amen. The shepherd who plants himself at the entrance of the sheepfold. Amen. Hallelujah. And so no sheep are getting out and no wolves are coming in. Amen. Or no sheep are even coming in except they go through the shepherd. And he says, narrow is the way. Narrow is the gate. That leads to life. And he said, there's few who find it. He's the only way. He's the only hope because he is God. For God hath highly exalted him. He who suffered as Joseph, amen, given him the name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of those things in heaven, those things on the earth, and those under the earth. And every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. I say yes to Jesus. I confess him as my Lord. Amen. I confess him before men. Because I love Jesus. And you're not ashamed of the one you love. Somebody say amen. Joseph. Proven, tested, right? So he could be exalted in the end. And I want to finish with this today. We just need to learn to just let go of our control. I got to be in control of everything. How many know that there's certain things in your life you're not in control of? You can't be in control of. You need God. You need his grace. You need his help. So it should turn us to him. Amen. But we need to learn to trust him unconditionally. Why? Because it's not until you learn to trust the Lord unconditionally that you're going to find rest for your soul. That's right. Lean back in his arms. Just let go. Quit carrying it all. We're dragging all the baggage around, trying to keep everything in control and in order in our lives because, you know, often we've learned that pattern of behavior growing up. And sometimes, you know, being in vulnerable situations, we've learned how to control. And sometimes in order to protect ourselves, we try to control others around us so that others can't touch us, they can't hurt us. Amen. And we become what's called a control freak. Amen. And we need to let go and let God, as we say, and know that God, amen, has it. He's got your back. All you got to do is call upon him and ask him for help. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1:3. Are you ready for this? By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Amen. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. And the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. God wants us to grow up. God wants us to learn to trust him unconditionally. So, dear brothers and sisters, are you ready? Work hard to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things that he just talked about, and you will never fall away. I want to encourage you to just spend some time in that passage of Scripture right there. Amen? And then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you see the picture here? Do you see the pattern? God having begun a good work in you, being faithful to complete it. The things that you're enduring now are preparing you for eternity. You need to learn to trust the Lord. Israel failed to trust the Lord in the difficulties, in the wilderness. God was promising them a land flowing with milk and honey. Instead, they complained. Instead, they got mad at God. But there was a few, Joshua and Caleb, amen, who stood up and said, God is well able to give us the land. He's promised it to us. We just need to go in and take it. It doesn't matter what it looks like right now. We trust in the Lord's word. God says something, he means it. God has given you a promise in life, amen. God has a destiny for you. It's time for you to connect to the Lord, amen, and walk with him. He'll show you the way. If you will commit yourself to him, amen, he will show you the way in which you should walk. Hallelujah. And his plan is superior to your plan. His will is better than your will. Amen? God wants you to know it and to live it. It may not make sense to you at the moment, but God is a perfect Father, and he is faithful to complete what he's begun in you. Only believe, like Joseph. His plans are to do you good in the end. So here it is. This is it. I said this to him. Luke 12:32. What did Jesus say? Do not fear, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to do what? Isn't that amazing? That you and I, as messed up and dysfunctional and sinful as we are, amen, without Jesus, amen, in this world, that God in His mercy sent Jesus to die in our place to redeem us, amen, to deliver us from ourselves, to forgive our sins, amen, to place His Holy Spirit in us, to give us that new heart, amen, and also the privilege of sharing in His eternal kingdom. He said it's your Father's great joy, amen, to give you the kingdom. It's His pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants to share His kingdom with us. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good. I don't know about you, but this world does not satisfy me. I've tried to be satisfied in this world. Amen. All kinds of stuff. But I found satisfaction in the Lord. I found completeness in the Lord. I found peace in the Lord. And it's a peace that goes beyond my understanding. Called passes all understanding. Amen. God wants you to know His peace. Would you bow your heads this morning? Just take a moment with the Lord. If you're right with the Lord, praise God. If you need to get right with the Lord, do it right now. Talk to Jesus. If you've been away from the Lord, you're not really walking in the will of God, you want to walk in the will of God, commit your life to Him. Tell Jesus, Lord, I commit my life to You. I want to live for You. Lord, I want You to forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. I want to be clean, Lord. God, I want to get rid of this guilt and this shame that I drag around with me. And the regrets of yesterday, God, I want You to take care of that. I'm asking You, Lord Jesus, to blot out all my transgressions. Purge all my iniquities. Cleanse me. Wash me in Your blood, Lord Jesus. And I invite You to be Lord of my life. Just tell Jesus, I want You to come into my heart, Lord. I invite You, come into my heart, Lord. And be my Lord and be my Savior. From this day forward, lead me in the way I should go, Lord, and I will follow You. In Jesus' name. You know, if you prayed that prayer, you need to tell somebody. You need to confess Jesus before men. Amen? And don't be ashamed.